This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another edition of Inside Carolina's Noon Dish. I'm Tommy Ashley. That is Don Callahan, and we are sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Shout out to the regulars that are in here. It is a Wednesday in the middle of the end of the North Carolina basketball regular season. Big ball game last night. Ton of coverage on Inside Carolina. Now it's time to talk a little bit of football recruiting here with Don Callahan. And Don, I entitled this one Mock Class Season. I've always thought and I've always wondered, are mock classes your absolute favorite things to do? Or absolute, if you had a top five list of favorite things about recruiting coverage, where would mock classes rank?
So I think it's a little bit more complicated. I know you hate this, but for me, I enjoy doing them. Some of the feedback can be frustrating, you know. Like someone made a post about, oh, we're going to sign a running back under 200 pounds, not reading that I mentioned that North Carolina is definitely going to expand the running back board, and that, you know, it's implying that, and maybe I should have, I guess, drew it out a little bit better, that the running back hall is probably going to look very different. It's probably going to be names. Well, it will be names that UNC hasn't offered yet. And I kind of laid out the details and everything like that of what's going down in the scoop. And I won't reveal that. So that can be frustrating with some of it. And then, just some of the feedback can be frustrating with certain things. And so, yeah.
Frustrating. I mean, so just so folks will know, we'll get it out of the way very quickly. A lot of people and Inside Carolina fandom folks are amazing. Don't get me wrong. 100% amazing. But sometimes people are quick to criticize. How long does it take you to put together one mock class in this deal, time-wise?
So this kind of goes into the background of the mock class. I've always had like a mock class, and I, you know, to this day, like I use I'm a big Google Keep, which is basically like a little notepad sort of thing, right? Most people have never heard of it before. I love it. I keep it up, and I have like a little Google Keep. It's just a notepad that I update when I get new information. And so that's kind of the genesis of the whole mock class idea. I had been doing it years and years and years before I even actually posted my first mock class. So with that said, I have a running mock class going on my personal computer. Now, before I actually post, I will reach out to people. And it's recruits. I'll reach out to them, kind of get a feel for it. I feel like one of the tools we have at our disposal is visits. You know, where recruits are visiting, where they have visit, you know, where they intend on visiting. You know, how they're treated on those visits. Are those visits unofficial visits? Are the official visits? Those sort of things. I think we can kind of, that's our best tool that we have to kind of dissect just where a recruit is at. And so, so obviously reaching out to recruits is a big part of that. And then reaching out to sources, it could be other writers who have really good sources. It could be my own personal sources. I mean, I definitely, I I talked to some really well-placed sources close to UNC, you know, in the past week that kind of helped kind of shape this. But I also talked to a lot of people purposely outside of UNC to make sure I get a well-rounded view on different things. And I was talking to actually one person who was kind of, you know, give me some feedback on different things. And they're like, what's your hit rate with this? And I'm like, you know, it's actually surprisingly pretty high, even this early on, just because, you know, I obviously am privy to information that others aren't. And I'm playing the percentages on certain things. Like there are some players who are some recruits who I'm sure people who are reading the scoop are unhappy that they're not there. Well, I look at it and I say, okay, well, North Carolina has to beat out Tennessee and Clemson and Georgia for this kid. Those aren't great odds. You know what I mean? And this kid has official visits scheduled to those schools, sort of thing. Now, if it's a kid that, you know, North Carolina is battling Virginia Tech and NC State, you know, programs at North Carolina typically beats on the recruiting grounds, then yeah, I mean, I'm going to feel confident about that. But I also am able to, you know, some of my sources can kind of give me a good idea of just the thinking of the coaches at certain positions, you know, as far as like who they prefer, and who they prefer doesn't always match up with the rankings. So yeah. So to answer your question, this is probably like a, you know, week long process, like a lot of weekly scoops, a lot of conversations, a lot of thinking. The actual writing probably takes about, I don't know, like, you know, I started writing this up over the weekend. But the details and all of that have been going on for a while.
So what is the hit rate on Mock Class 1?
So I don't know. Well, for this one?
No, I mean, obviously we'll find out about this one, but like in the past. And, so I got a couple more questions here and we will.
Yeah, well, can I first before, because do we have a top five?
We haven't thought about a top five yet. Maybe we'll have your top five Mock Class 1s. All right, let's do this. Folks in the chat, what do you want to be the top five, Don? Because I got nothing.
You have not? Are you sure you don't have like the five neighbors little, you think the most or anything?
A little grumpy head, kind of. I'm sick of the pollen coming out. Whatever you want to do for a top five
things that piss off Tommy when he's on his walk
daily. I love my walk. I wish I could do these when I did the walk. I think it would be pretty awesome. You do your walk. I do my walk and we do a show live, or we walk together one day at, you know, at a park and
hold hands, drink a Coke.
No, we're not doing that. We'll separate. We'll walk on opposite sides of the path and
skip.
It should be pretty. And then we'll just interview random people.
Okay.
Paul H has got a good one in the chat. Top five bourbons, but I'm not a connoisseur there.
I am not either.
I know what I like.
Let's throw out some ideas. I would not be able to. I'm not a bourbon drinker at all, so I would not be able to.
We'll stay away from those type things. Top five vices. We've already done that. Bourbon might be one of them. I don't know. Think about it. What about the Chad MVP? Before we get too far ahead.
MVP. I have written down Tar Heels for Life, which I don't know if that's the Tar Heels for Life, or is just a poster Tar Heels for Life, but they were very, very active last week. Last week we had Tom Lemming on, and I think they provided some questions and all that. So congratulations, Tar Heels for Life, who comes in here with that name, on being the chat MVP. What about top?
We got top five
parking secrets in Chapel Hill. Well, there won't be a secret. That I would like to know that because I'm always trying to sneak in a parking spot.
I will tell you that I'll give one. When I'm in Chapel Hill and I'm on north side of campus or Franklin Street side of campus, I park at the little pay lot behind He's Not. Can't beat that. Then you have to walk through He's Not on the way back out. We know what He's Not does. But Bell Tower lot during basketball games.
Yeah.
Halfway between Franklin Street and the Smith Center. Free on the weekends. Can't beat that. Beyond that, I don't know. I had my share of parking tickets when I was a student at Carolina. Probably still owe some. I'm surprised I got my diploma, actually.
I haven't gotten Knock on wood. I haven't gotten a Tar Heel, a parking ticket at UNC in a very long time. But yeah, there were times where I had quite a few. You know,
folks keep tossing out top five suggestions, and we'll pick one of them, and maybe that person will be the chat MVP as well.
Do we want to do top five beers?
I'm not. I mean, beer? I just it.
Yeah, you're not a beer drinker.
I'm not picky. Let's put it that way.
That's how I am.
I'm not picky on. I'm not a snob on food. I'm not a snob on drinks. I'm not a snob on stuff like that. Some people, you know, they got to have. I can't drink Michelob Ultra because of blah 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 blah. I mean, I don't care. I don't. Are you a snob?
You don't
come across as a snob.
No. I mean, I if I go to somebody's house and they offer me a beer, usually I say no. I'm not a big drinker as it is, but if they give me a beer, I'll drink whatever. You know, yeah. I don't care for light beer, but I drink a lot of light beer because that's what a lot of people drink because I feel like it's like water. But like if I'm buying for myself, I like Yingling, Corona. But you know what I really like? I like going to those places. There's a place around the corner here where they change their taps and they have just the crazy stuff. And I love and Ross and I had this conversation, like the different dessert sort of stuff. Like Saranac,
flights and stuff.
Yeah. Like Saranac makes a beer. I can't remember what it's called, but it tastes like a s'more. Has the aftertaste and all that sort of stuff. Freaking love it. But there's a couple of other beers out there.
That sounds terrible.
Chocolate stouts. I've had a peanut butter and jelly stout. I love trying all those sort of things. You know, we're just all for stuff.
That is terrible. You want to walk around with a brick in your stomach. I don't get it.
I'm usually drinking just a beer. You know what I mean? I'm not like a, you know, but.
Here's what I do. When I go to a restaurant, wherever it may be, if it's somewhere away from here, I will ask the waiter or the waitress, this is what I like, pick one. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to have something different and let, you know, sort of open yourself up to experimenting and learning things new. And that's what I've always done, especially if I'm out at a brewery or a place like that, would you like a beer, sir, or whatever? I like, pick me one. Here's what I like. I prefer on the lighter side. I don't like the heavy stuff. It can be citrusy or thing like that. That's what I like. Pick me one. And that's the way you usually learn how to find something new and sort of a exploring, weird way of exploring different things. Because people that get stuck in their ways, like, I can't do it, man. I got to experiment and have different stuff.
Well,
but anyway.
Last night I went out. We went out for a burger, and I just got water, and that's usually what I do.
Yeah, I drink water every time because it saves more room for the food.
Yes,
like if you get sweet tea, you get filled up on sweet tea. Anyway, we got to get this back on the rails.
We're all way off track.
I can hear the Sandman coming behind me, going, "You better get it on the rails, or I'm pulling the plug." let's talk about your mock class 1.0 here.
Okay.
You never told me a hit rate in the past, but it
was
70%.
Somebody, I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, I got criticized for it. And Ben Sherman, my hero, came to my rescue and actually laid out some of the prior weekly scoops and the hit rate. And it was actually, I think it was higher than 70%, but I would have to go back and look.
Preston's working his way into the onto the top five bad list. You see his his thing in the chat.
Top five girly drinks.
Yeah. If he'd have said umbrella drinks, I would have banned him. I'm joking, Preston. But to your point, a couple points there with Ben. Ben will back you up in heartbeat. I mean, he does it. He did it for us on the baseball board just today with the coverage stuff. But he's on it there. And I guess the point before we get into this 1.0 is a ton of work goes into it. It's not throwing darts at it. And it comes from interviewing multiple people at multiple different levels of the process, whether it's a player, whether it's the coaches or who, you know, the gurus or family or agents these days, whatever. There's a ton of work that goes into this stuff. So you dropped Mock Class 1.0 this week on North Carolina, on the Inside Carolina Message Boards on Tar Pit Premium. And the name that sticks out to me, and I'm not going to spoil a bunch of other names, but you got Bryce Baker as the number one guy thus far in this class as far as need and recruiting aspect of it. I'll let you share what you want to share with the rest of it, and we can talk about it.
You mean Bryce Baker or Bryce Davis?
I said Bryce Baker being the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
The quote-unquote face of the class.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I'll let you go where you want to go from there.
I think the most interesting one is – well, how about we do this? So I'll throw out a position, and those in the chat – We'll pick one more position based off of those of the chat that we'll kind of, you and I will discuss.
Okay.
And if no one does, then we'll just pick one. All right. Fair enough.
Yes.
So I think the most interesting one is the wide receiver position, just because as I kind of laid out, and I think it might be, let's see, it might be all of the wide receivers. Hold on. I know this is terrible, especially if you're listening to this. All right. With the exception, maybe one. I think you can make a very strong argument that North Carolina is in the top two, if not the flat-out leader, for most of the guys that North Carolina has offered. And UNC is, at true receivers, they are actively recruiting six receivers, okay, to different degrees. They're obviously not recruiting all of them very hard. If you have been if you read the Weekly Scoop every week, you'll know what I'm talking about from the prior Weekly Scoop kind of talks about that a little bit. But anyway, and so, and it's kind of like the same situation North Carolina got in last year or last class where, you know, wide receiver wasn't a huge need, but there were so many really good wide receivers. And I'm starting to come to the conclusion that based off of the current setup North Carolina is in, it's going to always have a really good selection of wide receivers. And that setup I'm talking about is an offense that is super wide receiver friendly. You know, not just from the standpoint of the scheme, but also, you know, the quarterbacks that North Carolina has been bringing in. And I know that two of the best quarterbacks who have ever played North Carolina are now in the NFL or will be in the NFL. But when talking to recruits, they mentioned, hey, yeah, Drake May is gone, but you got to have a lot of confidence in North Carolina to bring in quality quarterbacks because that's what they've done. And so, receivers are going to a situation where you think you're going to have a quarterback, you think you're going to get the ball, and then also this area, this southeastern part of the United States, just produces a ton of wide receivers. And even if we take Florida out of there, because it's not a state that North Carolina recruits very heavily, but all the other states in the southeast, it produces a lot of really good wide receivers, particularly the two cities that North Carolina recruits the heaviest, Atlanta and Charlotte. A lot of great receivers through the years have come out of those areas. And then on top of that, North Carolina's best recruiter, I think, Lonnie Galloway, is, of course, coaching the wide receivers. And that really, I mean, it's one thing to have access to these prospects. It's another thing to put yourself in such a great position with all of them. And so, anyway, so I had to make the very difficult decision on which two, because I think North Carolina probably only takes two. Maybe they make the exception and they take three because they're in such great shape with such great receivers. I mean, that's a very likely scenario. I think right now I would stay at two, but it's difficult to kind of see where North Carolina, you know, who ends up at North Carolina among this group. And you know, thoughts, Tom?
I mean, my thoughts are this. Obviously, everything you mentioned about the offense built for wide receivers to show out or whatever. How much does a depth chart affect recruiting of wide receivers?
Yeah, I just don't think it has that much of an impact because I don't think you have the kids have the patience to kind of sit down and look at, you know, who is ahead of me? And so many of these things can be easily explained away and for different opportunities and all of that. And then, I mean, North Carolina's depth chart right now, regardless of position, is going to be way different by the time these kids sign because of now, especially because of the transfer portal and just typical attrition and all of that. You know, I obviously, you know, each position is different. You know, if you're a quarterback, you can, it's a much easier to kind of see the trajectory of the program when it comes to the quarterback position. You know, if you were a quarterback, you know, a 2022 quarterback, you know, you knew you weren't starting at North Carolina. You know what I mean? But obviously, you know, there's opportunity there coming up. So each position I think is a little bit different, but I don't think it matters that much for recruits.
All right. Let me ask you this. How much does early playing time matter? Because Carolina has had some experienced wide receivers. They've gone and gotten wide receivers in the portal, and maybe the younger guys, and this is across the board with most all schools, but maybe the younger guys from last year's class, from the class before, did not play as much as maybe even we anticipated. How much does actual early playing time, I get it with linemen. I mean, if you come in expecting to play a lot as a lineman, then I don't know what to tell you. And if you're as a fan or expecting the lineman to play a ton, well, sure, it happens, but it doesn't happen much. But skill position guys, and since we're talking about wide receiver, we'll stay here. Skill position wide receivers, how much does it matter to be able to get on the field early? And do they look at, well, Chris Culliver or Christian Hamilton, those guys were, you know, ranked like I'm ranked, or ranked like, you know, higher than me or whatever, and they didn't get much playing time. How much does that matter ultimately? And then how do the coaches deal with that? I mean, for me, it would be, if you're the best guy on the team, we're going to play you regardless of what class you're in. So it's up to you to do that. And that's the nature of the beast. But how is it in reality from your perspective?
Well, I think coaches take the approach that you're talking about, you know, like, I mean, if you want to be given something, then this is not the right place for you. And that's just not a North Carolina thing. I think most coaches are going to take that approach. I think it's a factor. I don't think it's nearly as much of a factor as fans believe. I think it's more one of those factors that when you kind of get down to the very end, it makes a difference. Like if basically a kid is looking at two schools, and I mean, all kids say they want to play early. Well, no, I shouldn't say all. A good amount of kids say they want to play early. You know, the majority of them don't. And I think in the majority of them always say, hey, I just want an opportunity and that sort of thing. But I think really this is one of those things that if you're coming down to two or three schools and you're like, man, I really like these schools, I can't separate it. And maybe one has a better reputation of playing players earlier than that's a factor, you know, that might influence some things. But ultimately these decisions come down to one, location, and then two, just your comfort level at that school, you know, and everything else maybe is a factor, but probably not nearly as much as what fans think.
Yeah. I'll be interested to look at recruiting as a whole and retention and all of those things in this era of free transfers, especially free multiple transfers at the moment. I'll be interested in, like, you and I circling back 5 years from now when we've seen the full aspect of that. But yeah, to your point, I mean, I know Scott Forbes on the baseball side, I talk to him every week and multiple times a week. And he's like, if you're good enough to play and you can help us win, I'm playing you.
Yeah.
And that's at the expense of a named captain. And you know, as this season's gone, so ultimately up to the player to make that move to themselves. But it's always, you know, I always want to ask you about it because I know when guys are in high school, they have a little bit different thought process maybe than when they arrive on campus and see how things really are. And it's not any different at Carolina than it is anywhere else. We're talking with Don Callahan here on the Noon Dish about his mock class 1.0. Appreciate everybody that's joined us live. Don, what position's next? A lot of people talking about OL in the chat. My thing with offensive linemen is it's basically a crapshoot, it seems like to me. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, I agree. Somebody made a post. It was my guy, Derek Blackman. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He made a post saying that he expects Alex Payne to be a better college player than Davis Sanders. Now, that's really not that far-fetched of an idea. It really isn't. And I'm not saying this because David Sanders has eliminated North Carolina. I'm saying it if you look at anybody who has studied the positions, rankings, gone back and looked at hit rates and all that sort of stuff, the offensive line is the one position that everybody seems to get wrong. And there's a lot of explanations for that. But now, Derek is probably leaning very heavily on his bias when it comes to why he kind of laid that out. But it wouldn't shock me, you know, and that's nothing against David. And that's not, it's just the wide receiver position is just a different position because of just the physical demands of it and the growth and all of that. And to be honest, I have had, and again, this is going to sound like sour grapes because he didn't pick North Carolina, but for those who know me, know I don't care about that sort of aspect. But I've had scouts tell me that they're surprised by how high, not that he shouldn't be ranked high, but how high he's ranked. I mean, I think 247, we either have him number one or number two in the nation, regardless of position, not just the offensive line position. And so because of the fact that while he has great height, great length, you know, moves like a ballerina, he has kind of a slender frame. And especially if he intends on playing in the SEC or wherever he ends up going, or Ohio State or whatever, he's going to have to add a good amount of weight. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if his frame kind of holds that weight. And that's definitely one of the things that I don't think is always kind of looked at sometimes.
I got homework for you.
Oh boy.
I want you to go back through as far as you can remember. And where you had surefire offensive line guys that were going to be really good, and compare that to guys that were really good when college life was all, you know, all said and done. I'm reminded of Jason Kelce, and I know you can pick one person, but I don't know if you heard it. I know you're a Philadelphia guy, so I assume you listened to his retirement speech.
Yeah, well, you can't miss it. I mean, it's on like Today's show this morning.
It was. I listened to the whole thing. It was awesome. Cried with the man. I mean, don't know him, but to see the passion. But the dude was a walk-on.
Yeah.
Linebacker at Cincinnati, and he talked about his coach saying, you'd be a good center, and how that changed his life, and now he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I mean, offensive line is just a different beast.
Yeah.
But that's your homework. I want you to find the ones that you said that guy is going to be a stud and he's going to make money in the NFL, and see how many of that guys actually did it versus the ones that weren't. So that's your homework. But offensive line, North Carolina, of course, has two commitments currently, Trey Blue and Alex Payne, both committed to play for Randy Clements. Of course, if you listen to Inside Carolina enough, you know about the transfers that are incoming, and Randy Clements has got a lot of new names currently to work into the offensive line, and Payne and Blue are currently committed in that 25 class. Let me take a second to talk about Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com, of course, sponsors of the podcast, great friends of Inside Carolina, great friends of the Inside Carolina premium subscriber, if you are one. If you are not one, you probably don't know who Don Callahan is. You probably don't know what this show is. So I'm not sure how you got here, but take the moment to join it. It's worth it. Inside Carolina premium subscription gets you all basketball, football, recruiting, gets you Jason Staples breakdowns, gets you everything from all of the stuff. And on top of it, you get a wonderful 10% discount at Johnny T-Shirt when you buy or purchase in person or online. Also, congruityhr.com/Tar Heels for all your small to mid-sized business needs. They are a wonderful sponsor of this show as well. Wonderful sponsors of Inside Carolina. Take care of them. If they can grow their business to be a national brand, they can grow your small business to be a national brand and make you a lot of money. And they give you a free assessment to do it. If you go to congruityhr.com/Tar Heels, submit it. They'll hook you up, tell you what they can do, and help you out if they possibly can. National guys pay the bills. It's a noon dish.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, Don, we're back here at the Noon Dish in St. Carolina's premier. Hold on. You cannot stop me. I'm rolling. Inside Carolina's premier recruiting show, Don Callahan, the premier recruiting expert in college recruiting, just happens to bless us every day. Now you can interrupt me after I've tooted your horn enough.
So I was so excited because I was worried about the top five. And I think Preston has an answer for us. I'm not a wrestling guy, but I did grow up watching a little bit of wrestling, and we already have somebody making a submission. You want to do top five wrestlers? Everybody can name five wrestlers, right?
Yeah, we'll do top five wrestlers. Absolutely. Right. Good one, Preston. You made up for the girly drink comment. We'll do top five professional wrestlers, and you can go wherever you want. You're going to show your age. Or are you going to show your pop skills here? So top five wrestlers, submit them, and I'll mark them in the chat.
All right.
Don, what else with this mock class? I mean, there's some big names on it. There's some big names missing, but...
Well, do you have anything that... What was the one thing that jumped out to you?
The name that you thought I said earlier.
Okay, so you want to talk about that a little bit.
Do you? That's up to you. It's your show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. That could be our... Bryce Davis was included in there. And as I said in there, it's a little bit of a, I don't know what I want to call it. I don't think it's a Hail Mary. I think it's a little bit of kind of thinking some things might kind of fall into place for North Carolina with this. I like the momentum North Carolina has kind of built with him. I think the fact that North Carolina, as far as I know right now, is the only school he has scheduled an official visit with. Might not mean anything, but I think it's something to kind of take into consideration. The fact that North Carolina has done a really good job of recruiting Grimsley High School. I know that there are UNC fans on that football staff over there. I'm not going to name any names. And no, it's not the head coach. So that only helps. You got Monachino, who's involved, who's now taking over that recruitment. But Lonnie Galloway, that's his territory, so he's still going to be involved. I mentioned just the type of recruiter that Lonnie Galloway is, and so I think that only helps North Carolina's cause. You know, I think what would be super helpful is if North Carolina can draw him to campus for a spring practice prior to the official. Obviously, that would help even more. And then just kind of seeing just who truly is in this race. I mean, he's visited a bunch of schools. Right now with the official visits, it's kind of showing us exactly who is interested in who. I mean, he has like, I don't know, 40-something offers. All those schools are not super high on him. So who's really high on him? And so I think we're going to see. You know, there is probably going to be at least one, maybe a couple of, heavyweights that are going to be involved in this recruitment. But I think... things could pan out well for North Carolina.
What is it about Grimsley in North Carolina? I mean, is it past success? Is it, like you mentioned, some guys that tend to like Carolina football on the staff? Is it close proximity? I guess all of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's close. It seems like it's a pro North Carolina area. You know, it's home of of Ross Martin.
That's your buddy. I mean, I'm sure he would love to rejoin this show. But yeah. It is a whirly. It's a whirly. He's a whirly, and it's a whirly. Yeah, a whirly factor.
I think it's and I think it's an area of Greensboro that just kind of fits for North Carolina. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, and they've and once you kind of establish a pipeline, it makes it easier to kind of keep it going.
Yeah, you know, of course, a lot of Grimsley guys on the team currently.
Yeah, yeah, especially, you know, Travis Shaw was a very competitive recruitment that North Carolina won. And so, and Galloway was a part of, a big part of that. So he obviously understands that area, and I think that's only going to help. But I think really he likes, Bryce likes what Monachino is telling him. And I think also, and I mentioned this a little bit on the message board, is from what I was told while doing kind of the research for this, is that Monachino definitely prefers for that quote unquote jack position, which I don't, is it going to still be called the jack position?
I have not heard otherwise. I guess we'll find out when spring ball opens up. We've got a availability with Mac on the 18th, and then spring practice opens on the 19th. So I guess we'll see. I mean, I don't know why it would change, but it possibly could. And ultimately, it's all the same, but
yeah. So, Monachino's preference is for that jack position to be guys who are have more bulk, have more power in their game, as opposed to the longer prospects. You know, the 6'6", you know, prospects. And so, I think for that, for what Monachino is looking for, Bryce Davis fits that perfectly. Whereas I actually think under the prior staff, he probably would have been more of a power end. But I think for the current staff, he's definitely that jack position.
You mentioned Monachino, and of course now he's the full-time defensive line coach and what he likes. From your past and your history covering this stuff, and this has always been an interesting thing. Obviously, when a defensive coordinator is there, you might have a different scheme or a different, you know, 4-3, 3-4, 3-3 stack, whatever, and all that stuff. But when position coaches change, and you can either talk about Monachino specifically or whatever, how much of a factor is the different approach from that individual coach change the recruiting approach, assuming the defensive coordinator stays the same? You follow my question?
Yeah. So under Mac, he's really big on the position coaches dictating who they are coaching. So they're going to have a major say in who UNC is pursuing. And I know Mac has gone through a bunch of times, just the different eyes that actually check out a highlight tape. But in addition to that, well, along with that, you know, the position coach gets major say on, hey, I like this guy, hey, I don't like this guy sort of situation. And there is a lot of personal preference with it. And it's what I talk about all the time with the, this being more art than science. I mean, you could take two well-respected coaches at the same position and have them rank whatever, you know, NFL player, you know, whatever, NFL players at their position. And they're going to have different rankings just because of personal preference, because, as I said, it's more of an art than a science. And maybe one has more success than the other, or maybe they both are successful in their selections. I mean, it's just why we love the game, I think.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's multiple ways to build the puzzle, and but you always got to have the pieces. And, I mean, it's just to see the, you know, you talked about the names. So, the star, the jack, you know, my favorite was the bandit. And you know, it doesn't matter. You still got to have pieces that fit what you're trying to do. North Carolina certainly trying to do that on the recruiting trail. Monachino in charge of the DL now. Don, any other things you want to talk about here? We're 37 minutes in. We've got to do our top five. There was a question I saw in the chat. Let me see if I can find it for you. We are doing, first of all, folks, if you haven't submitted, top five professional wrestlers, get your top five in here. Bombs Way. Why are you laughing? Somebody clowning me in the chat.
It's funny that we're going to rank professional wrestlers.
Hey, we have fun now. It's not the best ever. It's your favorite. Here we go. Bombs Way asks, question for Don. How difficult does NIL make projecting classes or commitments on your end?
So it hasn't increased the difficulty because in reality, as we all have talked about, the money stuff has always been somewhere in recruiting, you know, and obviously, I mean, even now we don't know exactly how much this school is offering this kid. And we didn't know how much this school is offering that kid before NIL became a thing, but you knew that certain schools would have some sort of leg up when it came to, you know, potentially being able to kind of throw some money at a kid. So, let's take Tennessee, which has a well-respected NIL collective program. You know, like last year with Braylon Staley, the wide receiver from South Carolina that officially visited North Carolina, officially visited Tennessee. There was another school in there too. I can't remember who it was. I mean, I think it was Miami. I kind of said, hey, this is not looking good, you know. But I think in reality, you know, Tennessee probably still wins that recruitment 10 years ago too, just because of the extra stuff, the pixie dust we used to talk about, you know, before the NIL. I'm still taking that stuff into consideration. I mean, if Tennessee gets involved with a kid, you know, and especially if they're an out-of-state kid who, you know, who doesn't kind of fit North Carolina's profile, you know, and doesn't have some sort of connection to North Carolina, it's difficult for North Carolina to overcome that.
Let me ask you a random question. I don't know why I just thought of it.
Uh-oh.
If you were a player,
did you hurt yourself?
No. What, thinking too much? Yeah, I do have a headache. That's probably what it is. If you were a player and they sent you a contract to opt in or opt out of NCAA 25, are you Arch Manning or are you the 10,000 other people?
Oh, I am in. I am. So we haven't even talked about this, have we? We talked about it.
We could do a full show about NCAA 25.
Yeah. So just a little background. I play that thing like you wouldn't believe. And then So I would absolutely love to be on there. To me, to get a free copy, I hope it would be advanced, and then also give me money.
Did you create yourself when you played like Road to Glory or whatever it was?
I don't think I ever did on NCAA. Maybe on other, definitely hockey games I did, but NCAA, I was a real big, putting in the name sort of thing.
Yeah,
and I can
100%.
Remember before the internet, before you can be attached to the internet with your PlayStation, I remember purchasing this little gadget that actually would hook up to my computer. And you had to buy it, I don't know where I bought it from, but downloaded a roster that way. Yeah, something like that.
Even way back in the day, I started playing, I think 93, Bill Walsh came out. Even way back when, you could put the names in if you took the time to do it, and they would say it. And, I know NCAA 14. Yeah, it was awesome. And when you first realized it did that, it was like, holy good gracious.
Yeah.
And, but we still play Revamped over there on the big TV back there off the PlayStation 3. Drake May's cover board now on this version of Revamp. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting question. Arch Manning didn't want to be a backup on the game. It's like, come on, man. Anyway.
I don't get it. I would love to know his explanation. I saw the headlines. I have not read anything about it because I think, what was it, pretty recent, like this morning sort of thing?
Yeah, I think I saw it yesterday, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I would absolutely love... To me, just getting the game for free, especially if I was in he has plenty of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can remember just the different things I would do, saving up money and all that sort of stuff. You know, taking off school, just to get...
So are you getting the new one?
You know, here's my issue. is
because
that,
we're about to start something here. We're about to start an IC season franchise. Ooh.
Oh, then I might be in. I might do because so here's my so my son has a PlayStation 5, right? Mm-hmm. His room stinks like you wouldn't believe. Like, no, I'm just talking like not like typical boy. It's like beyond that. So I don't know. I purchase my own PlayStation and the game, or I mean, he wouldn't care if I borrowed a PlayStation and brought it somewhere else, but then there becomes this whole thing because he would only want to play his PlayStation when I was playing, and it'd become this. So yeah, so there's a little bit of more variables. And then also, so once that game, I think I played that game a couple of years after, I guess it was 2014, right?
Yeah.
I played that a couple of years after, and then I stopped, and I never played video games again. And so I haven't really played video games.
Well, so, I got to get back in it because I mentioned vices.
Uh-huh.
Even now when I don't play as much, I mean, this is ridiculous. And it, you know, I'm embarrassed, but there's two PlayStation 5s in this house. There's the newest Xbox. I'll probably get it for both systems and let's cross play. Works really well. But it's funny. It was a message board thread.
So tell me about this league, though.
Well, there's a message board thread on Tar Pit talking about it. And back in the day when you were first getting online, I would talk a lot of smack and I'd get online and then get beat down and then have to hear about it on the message boards or have to run across the person. And you're just kind of like, yeah, I thought I was good. But yeah, we can get back into it. I think it'd be hilarious. Comes out this summer. If it's crossplay, you can have a PlayStation or Xbox, and we'll create a thing, and you can play together too, right? You can play on the same team. You can be one of my running backs. I'll be the quarterback, but I can't. Okay. I'm never pitching it. You know, if I'm reading, it's always read. There's no option in there.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like, I wouldn't want to do it with random people, but I'm definitely game to play with people who I actually know, sort of thing.
We'll
but
do it. There's plenty of people in this chat that love us.
NCAA against Mitch Trubisky. Did I tell you this
no.
story?
Did yeah. you get whipped?
All right, so I don't want to lay out the scenario, but I was originally playing RJ Prince, and I was beating the snot out of him. And I was, like, giving it to him. I was sacking his quarterback, and I was like, oh, I bet that was RJ Prince at offensive line there that I just blew past. I killed him. And so Mitch comes up, and Mitch is like, I'll play you. And so I was like, okay. So anyway, so we play – and it ended up being, I remember there was an interception in there, ended up being 14-14, and we had to turn it off. But it was the most intense game I've ever played because he didn't really speak. And he's really nice kid in person and all this. But he had to go, so we had to cut it short. We never played again, but it was a cool experience. So anyway.
I'm tweeting at him. I'm starting it back. I'm like, Mitch, you got unfinished business.
Yeah.
With Don Callahan when 25 comes out. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I love that kind of stuff. And, you know, it sounds like they're doing it right. Make us olds feel young again. It shall be the case.
You're actually convincing me. I was kind of leaning towards not doing anything, so I might have to do something.
You got to do that. I mean, there's no – everybody in the world – that game should sell a billion copies. Anyway, let's talk top five. Let's get out of here. We got 15 minutes left to talk top five. If you haven't already, get your top five in here quick. Top five wrestlers. Also, get in your likes. Smash the like button. All right, let's go. I'm going to start from the bottom to the top. Stephen Blakely, top five wrestlers. Sting, Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Harley Race. I don't recognize the Harley Race name. You
That's
can tell people's
cool.
age here. Yeah. Sean Crowley, Andre the Giant, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Daniel 828, and Wilson, Triple H, HBK, Ric Flair, Dusty Rose. We're missing one, though. Unless that's four.
Come on, Daniel, give us one more.
Yeah, he might have, and I just missed it. Joshua Mills, Hogan, Stone Cold, Ric Flair, Sting, and The Undertaker, Preston, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Blackjack Mulligan, The Rock, Yancey, always agrees with Tommy. Yancey's number one. Stone Cold, The Rock, Ric Flair, Undertaker, Triple H. That's all I see right now. John Bowman's. Is it your birthday? It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yesterday was my birthday.
Everybody say happy birthday to Don, by the way. Daniel adds Bret Hart in there. Okay. All right, Don, who you got? I don't all see right. anybody else in there.
Yeah, so someone mentioned The Rock. You know, it's funny. So I wouldn't put Rock on my top five, but to this day, I still say some of his like little sayings. Mm-hmm. You know, the shine up real nice, turn that sumbitch sideways, and stick it straight up. It's great to pull out when someone is like a completely serious situation. Someone's like, "Well, what do you want me to do with this?" And then
it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's kind of funny that that's kind of stuck with me. But yeah, so my top five. All right, so keep in mind, I grew up in Philadelphia, and those who actually follow wrestling, ECW, the best. I tell you this. Do you know what I'm talking about? ECW,
like before WWE. I never really got into it.
That's the only one I've ever been to, and the coolest experience, the coolest sports entertainment experience ever. I was spit on by, God, what was his name? I can't remember his name, man. Spit on me. I had a friend afterwards. We had to take him to the emergency room because his hand was in a chair and the chair got ran into and smacked up and split his finger down. Just the coolest experiences. I touched Francine's butt. That was one of the managers as she was being taken away or whatever. Just ECW was the best. So a lot of ECW guys on my list here, but so I got Macho Man. I don't think I saw, did we have any Macho Man on here?
No, not that I saw.
Okay. I love Macho Man. Love Undertaker. I know Undertaker. Did he just recently RDV. Yeah. Rob Van Dam. Love that's Daniel saying he's not on my list, but I did like him. I actually preferred Sabu. Sabu is probably my number one. Do you know who Sabu is?
Was that big Hawaiian guy?
He wasn't. Or who was that? He wasn't Hawaiian. I think he was like from India or whatever, but like do all this high flying stuff. The triple jump moonsault was his his finisher. He was one of those death match guys, but it came into ECW and brought some of the stuff. It was freaking awesome. You tie the barbed wire around him and jump on top of people. You know, did the flaming chairs and all that sort of stuff. And speaking of which, New Jack from ECW, just insane. You know, he's one of those guys bring the trash can full of stuff and bring it all in. And he was the one who actually killed a kid by accident. So
Jesus Christ.
That was pretty cool. And then also Bubba Ray Dudley, who I know is in WWE. I never really watched him in WWE, but when he was at ECW, the scariest dude. And he would talk so much shit. And like, I remember one time he was just giving it to this one guy and the guy was going back at him and he was, you know, just talking like the guy in the crowd and the guy was standing right next to me. Right. So Bubba Ray comes down, gets up to the fence and starts yelling at this guy. They're going back and forth. And the guy's and so of course security's there kind of separating them. And the guy was like, "Oh, you got the security here, blah, 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 blah." And so Bubba Ray hops over the fence, get in the guy's face, and is like, "I called your bluff. I'm in your face. There's no security." It was the scariest but the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I'm right in front of me. And this guy was not like a prop. This was like a legit person. So, and then, I've seen fights, like wrestlers fight. Fans at ECW is the coolest thing ever.
That's the hillbilly version of wrestling, huh?
Yeah, so Macho Man, Sabu, Bubba Ray Dudley, Undertaker, New Jack. Also have to give a shout-out to Sandman. I threw on here. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Sandman drinking the beers. The coolest entrance ever in wrestling. If you've never
seen it. I am impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by your ability to not have that as a topic and then go so in-depth with all that stuff.
Well, this is straight childhood. I also had a friend who was really into wrestling to the point where he actually – I think he almost got a tryout with WWF at one point, but he did some like indie leagues or whatever, but he was really into it. And so I would go with him to all these events and I would watch a lot of this stuff. But yeah, so it was, yeah. So what's your top five?
Well, I mean, you're talking about guys you like, there was one from where I grew up. There was a couple. The Hardy Boys were from Cameron here, not too far away. Mm-hmm. But number one's got to be Ric Flair, right? It's got to be. We used to go to Dorton Arena back in the day and see the wrestling. And I guess then it was NWA or whatever it was. And so you had Ric Flair. You had the Road Warriors. Used to love those
Road
dudes.
Warriors, yeah. Love the Road Warriors.
And you talking about being up close to them dudes. And they were huge anyway, and then they had all that stuff on them. And so I like Flair like that. I like The Rock. I mean, The Rock's funny to me. And I've tried to watch it recently. I'm not sure about The Rock as a bad guy. It's kind of silly. But
yeah, I can't. You know, I have put it on, and I just can't.
It's terrible. It is absolutely terrible. But anyway, so you got Flair. You got the Road Warriors. There's two of them. You got The Rock. My better half like Randy Orton a lot because he's pretty. And we went to see SmackDown live one time when the boys were little, and Randy Orton saw him fairly up close. Them dudes are huge. But, you know, I was never a Hulk Hogan person. I was never that side of it. Didn't really care for Andre the Giant. I remember, like, the Great Kabuki or whatever. Was he, like, the dude that act like he was the Japanese guy and had all the smoke
know.
With those stuff in your face? And
was he the one that spit the green?
Maybe. He
there
used to
one,
do something.
There was one guy who I don't remember a whole lot, but I do remember he would spit green at people.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be awesome to go, though, in Dorton Arena back in the day and see those guys up close. But Flair's got to be number one. I've told the story before, but out partying, and Flair tells a friend of mine, this place is only big enough for one of us. And my friend was like, okay, what's that mean? I was like, that means we better leave. And so that was, God, that's been 30 years ago. But yeah, fun times. Ric Flair, number one, The Rock, The Road Warriors, and maybe one of those others from there. But I'm not as smart as you. I can't remember all that stuff as much as you can, but wrestling. I don't know if wrestling tells us too much about ourselves or exactly what we are when you see people at wrestling stuff, but
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good release, but yeah. All right. Anything left before we get out of here? It's been a fun show.
No, I think we covered everything.
So what is the – give me a name from a recruiting class that you knew was going to Carolina. You had no doubt he was going to Carolina, ended up not going to Carolina.
Man, I have a terrible memory for that stuff.
How can you remember all these wrestlers, but you can't remember the stuff you do?
Well, I mean, usually if I know somebody's going to pick Carolina, it's usually because a kid told me himself. So I'm trying to think of something. I don't know. I'm sorry. We're ending this on a sour note because I can't think of anything all the time. I know that there has to be something. Maybe I'll think of something and I'll give it to you next time.
All right. That's your homework, too. Name a guy that you knew was no way, no how going to Carolina, ended up going to Carolina.
No way, no how. Yeah, I mean, you do know I get the heads up for some of these things.
This is why it's called live radio, because I don't have to give you a heads up.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about as far as like I usually get the heads up when a kid's going to decide to pick North Carolina. You know what I mean?
Biggest surprise. Big person. Okay, I'll do it this way.
All right, so here, I'll throw you the biggest surprise. The Arthur Brown stuff. Not that I thought he was coming to North Carolina, but we thought that the chances were good enough. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the kid from Manhattan, Kansas, or wherever.
Yes, the
you went all the way to Manhattan, Kansas.
Went all the way to Manhattan, Kansas, and we felt, I think it was a situation where we felt good enough, and recruiting coverage was at like a high point for us. And it felt like the right thing to do as far as a coverage standpoint. And so, yeah, so I can remember I actually had it set up to stay the following day also to do like a full sort of story and photos and all that sort of stuff. But I, once he picked Miami, I grabbed my recorder, you know, and then started kind of trying to make plans to get the hell out of there. sooner.
Before Dorothy came and got you out in Kansas. Right. All right, I'll let you off the hook. I was going to add, somebody in chat says Drake May. You knew that was Carolina. Peyton Wilson, of course. We know how that went down.
Well, he picked North Carolina, Peyton Wilson. And there was rumors that, and that's the thing. It's like there was rumors that he was going to flip. The same thing with our guy, Gus Ritchie. Yeah. I mean, he committed with us. It was his idea. And then a week later, I'm hearing rumors that, hey, he might flip to NC State, which sounds ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. How many people have we interviewed on this show, not necessarily me and you, you and Ross or whoever, that actually went to Carolina?
We had Javari Ritzy. We had Drake May.
Right. Yeah.
Who else did we have?
You've had several. I joke, but most people remember the bad ones.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, I mean, it sounds ridiculous. You know, he has his parents there. It was in his living room. He has teammates there. I think his girlfriend was there. He has coach who played at Carolina there. I mean, for him to flip is just only happens in recruiting. And that's why when people speak in absolutes with recruiting, I'm like, you're being foolish.
Yeah.
Because nothing is guaranteed in recruiting. Yeah. Nothing's guaranteed in recruiting because crazy stuff happens.
Yeah. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Sean Crawley has thrown this out. Top five Easter candies.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
That's it. That's the next show. We will discuss it. We will see how many people are simple and plain and how people like to mix it up. And I will say that if anybody references Peeps, I'm banning you from the chat immediately. Folks, it has been the Inside Carolina's Next Level. That's Don Collins. Not Next Level. Noon Dish.
No.
I tried to elevate you, man. I tried to elevate you to Greg Barnes territory. We'll go to the next level on the next Noon Dish. With Easter candies, top five. That's Don Callahan. I'm Tommy Ashley. Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com, Congruity, Congruity HR. It is going to be a fun one next time. I'm telling you, the band hammer will swing mightily. Folks, enjoy your day. Be safe. Stay dry. And stay with Inside Carolina for the rest of the week and the rest of the time with all the great coverage. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Tommy.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.